Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hello, everybody out there in internet land. This is Russ with RST Coaching Academy, host of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Today, it is my pleasure to have on the show here my friend Ernest from Port Orange, Florida, which is a suburb of Daytona Beach. He's in the insurance business, specializes in the Medicare, Medicaid world, and he got quite a track record in that. And so he's going to tell us a little bit about his story, how he got to where he's at, and what it's done for him, and maybe offer some advice at the end, and maybe what would be useful for you in your lives and your career too. So without further ado, Ernest, you're on. Tell us about Ernest today, and welcome.
Hello, Russ. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. Yes, my name is Ernest Heisner. I am a what we call a Floridian by the hard way. I moved to Florida in the late 70s with my family as a child. We're originally from Chicago. My parents were into the, they had a lounge in Chicago and they owned property where they rented out property. And moved here to try to get me away from the city life. As a young man, I was in the restaurant business at the age of 14 years old. I was washing dishes. And then, you know, in the restaurant business, you start moving up, you start washing dishes, you start waiting on tables, you start cooking, you start bartending. Once I graduated from Spruce Creek High School in 1988, I moved to Miami in 89. In Miami, I was in the restaurant business. I managed a Jewish-style deli. It was a seated of 310 people. And it was a very large restaurant, and I enjoyed the restaurant business.
Was that in the city of Miami or Miami
North
Beach?
Miami Beach.
Okay.
Aventura, Miami Beach. Right outside Aventura.
Yeah, I love Miami Beach. Okay, cool.
Have you visited the Rascal House?
No, haven't been to. What's the name of it?
It was called the Rascal House. It was there for over 45 years, no longer there.
Oh,
it was a New York style deli with the best corned beef pastrami you can get this side of the country. Let me tell you, food was great. And I did move back here in the 2000s to the Port Orange area, and it changed quite a bit. It went from very rural to, you know, almost what you see now. I stayed in the restaurant business for a while. My last property I managed was down Inlet Harbor over there in Ponce Inlet. I then had a child at the age of 38, and I quickly wanted to get out of the restaurant business. It was very time consuming for me. I didn't have time for my child. So I started with antiques and collectibles. I did antiques and collectibles for a couple of years, and then I ran across a friend of mine in Sean Brown, and he mentioned that he's doing an insurance agency. And I had no idea about insurance. In fact, at the time we talked, I was curious for insurance myself. So that's how we started the conversation. And he broke it into me, and I just started Googling it like anybody else. And I thought, this is an interesting field. It really is.
Yeah.
So
what year
I got
was
involved
that?
In it.
What year was that?
That was 2016.
Okay.
Uh-huh. 2016 is the first year I officially got licensed, but I was licensed at the wrong time of the year. Insurance, health insurance has an annual enrollment period, which is the busiest time of the year. You went through that through the meetings last year.
Uh-huh.
So I got licensed, but I didn't have a lot of help the first year around. The second year around, I focused on the demographics that had Medicare and Medicaid. What's that? Medicaid is state funding for those that receive below the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
And those also that had Medicare, which meant they either had a disability or they were over 65.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Daytona Holly Hill has a high population of that.
Okay.
So,
Let me backtrack a minute. So you had to take the insurance exam. You had to study your brains out for that, I suppose. Was that a difficult process? Was it a very rigorous ordeal and the test super hard or what? I like in real estate, I've heard people that, they fail the thing more times and they keep going and finally they pass it. So is the insurance kind of in a similar world or
I
what?
believe it is a similar world because, of course, before going into it, I would ask people the same questions. And it is common for you not to pass your test the first time around. I fortunately was able to, but the state tests, it's funny you ask because all the courses before I took my state test, I would take my course test, chapter test. I would make sure that I would ace it every time. So when I take my state test, I wouldn't have a problem. So here comes a day for my state test. And I look at the state test and look at it. And I said, whoa, it looked like foreign language to me. It really did.
Really?
Yeah. But it all fell into place. It all eventually falls right into place. So
And
I got lucky.
it's primarily law and stuff like that, isn't it? That's pretty much what the test is about, is insurance law.
Little of everything, law, compliance, ethics, and we have to take, I think, 24 continuing education courses every 2 years
I
to
see.
keep up with everything. I just completed that this year myself also.
Okay. And now you're licensed just within the state of Florida, is that correct?
Myself, I am, yes.
Okay. And Sean Brown, I got the impression that you chose to focus on Medicare and Medicaid. Does he do other insurances, or is
Yes.
that his world as well?
No, we have agents that do different things in the office.
Okay.
I do focus on Medicare. We do individual, which you ever heard of, like the Obamacare or the Marketplace. That's considered individual.
Okay.
Also, we do short term. Short term is for the right person that might be in decent or good health, that maybe a little younger, all right? It's a person with non-pre-existing conditions. The short-term policies are good for them because the marketplace policies have to let pre-existing in. All right. So the premiums in the marketplace are high. If you're a 24-year-old guy, that's healthy, you're still paying a premium for a 24-person that has a high medical cause, medical needs.
So I've never heard of short-term health insurance before.
Back in Obama days, it was used as a filler, okay? They had to have another option out there. But now, and it was not allowed to be used all year round back in Obama days. Next president came in, changed things around, got rid of the $1,000, the $1,000, I forget what it's called, to have coverage penalty. And then they opened up the short term. So I have clients that may call me and say, my daughter's going to school at U of F. She's from out of state and she needs coverage. That's where I would turn to a short-term plan because it is for those that have non-existing conditions, for those that are fairly healthy, it's a good network. So we do Medicare, Medicaid, we do ACA, short-term, all that stuff.
Wow, so person on short-term insurance, I don't mean to harp on this, but it's so new to me. I was curious about it. Person on short-term insurance, it goes only for a certain period of time, and that individual is not covered any longer. They're back basically on the street on their own, uninsured then, correct?
No, short term we can do for multiple years.
Okay.
We can do for multiple years. The average, I think, is going to be 4 years with a short term
Okay,
policy.
all right. But nevertheless, once that 4-year period is up,
Yeah,
they're
then we have to
done.
reevaluate it then. We have to reevaluate. Are you sick? Do you have pre-existing conditions? If you do, then maybe the ACA may be the better way to go.
I see.
Everyone is, I tell everybody, every meeting I go to, you could have a twin brother or sister who lives in different city or different zip code. I'm gonna have probably different options offered to them that I'm going to have to offer to you. It's all an individual basis.
All right. And when you say it's AHC, Affordable Health Care.
ACA, Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, got it. And that's what commonly known as Obamacare. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, continue with your story. Sorry for the interruption, but I'm
really you're good. no, you're good. I was in Miami and I moved back. I talked to Sean. That's right. And I just, when I took the test, I started meeting people. Like I said, my first clients were Medicare and Medicaid. Therefore, they fall below the poverty line and have medical needs. For a person like that, the coverage out there is outstanding because it's coming from multiple places. It's coming from the federal government. It's coming from the local government. All right. The Medicaid state, Medicare is federal. So when you find a person that needs medical needs, that has medical needs like that, and they don't know where to find it, I got to help somebody out. All right. And like I said, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in Hollywood, Daytona that live below the poverty line, that have a lot of medical needs. That's where I started my business. Then I went on to Medicare, just straight up Medicare, Medicare Advantage and Medicare supplements.
And now that's how we've interacted with my wife's and my Medicare Advantage programs, right?
You did the right thing because you always, people on Medicare Advantage plans should always shop every year for Medicare Advantage plans, okay? Medicare Advantage, Medicare Part C are all the same thing, okay? Or MAPD, it's all Medicare Advantage plans. It's privatized Medicare. So as your needs change, it could be your health may change. It may be your prescriptions may change. Every annual enrollment period, that means starting October 15th, you should reach out to a broker, let them know your medical needs, let them know your physicians you have, let them know your current prescription list, and they can put it into the computer and within moments find out what is the best suggested plan for you. And even go as far as giving you a total cost for prescriptions to the dollar for the year, or a total cost for your existing health, you know, all depending what your health issues are. We can break it down to how much you will spend throughout the year. I mentioned to you max amount of pocket at one time. This max amount of pocket, the Medicare Advantage plans, it's a dollar amount that is the most you'll spend on any plan on the plan for the year. I have a family member that has a lot of medical needs. And so when choosing her Medicare plan, we want to make sure we want to pick a low MOOP, maximum out of pocket, because we know she goes to the doctor several times. We know this procedure's here. We know we're going to be reaching out of pocket several times for the year. So what we want to do is we want to minimize her cost for the year. So we picked a MOOP of $3,000, which she will accomplish by July. So when we have reached into our pocket $3,000, her medical coverage, Medicare coverage, is zero for the rest of the year until we reach December 31st.
Right. Interesting. Folks, when the time came for renewals here in, I think it was September, October, it starts. And I went to Ernest with my policy and my wife's policy, wanting an evaluation, what he thought. And I just want to attest to the honesty and the integrity of this man, because he probably could have sold us something new that would have padded his pocket with commission. We did not buy our original coverage through him. And so, you know, he was doing us a favor by looking at this. And guess what he said at the end? He said, "Russ and Ruby, you guys are on the best program for you. Stay with what you got." Instead of, he could have hawked another product and got us into something else for a commission for him. So that attests to Ernest's honesty, his integrity. And I think that goes a long way in any sales endeavor, is to have those two features about yourself, your personal self. So kudos to you for that.
I appreciate it. You want to do the right thing, right? You know, in the insurance world, there's hundreds of plans out there, but only a handful of them make sense to the general population.
And so now, so you got into the insurance game in 2016. You've been at it going on 4 years now. I think you said you got licensed in September of 2016, maybe it was.
Yeah, yes,
so,
sir.
you know, 7.5 years. So obviously it's done pretty well for you. You know, you've done well by it, and you're sticking it out evidently, huh?
I love this field. I wish I started this 10 years ago.
No
I
kidding.
love this
That's great.
industry. I really do. It helps a lot. You know, unfortunately, the problems we've had with COVID and with the hurricanes, stuff like that, people are coming to the state of Florida. And when it comes to the state of Florida, they have to renew their Medicare Advantage plans. So that's been keeping us busy since July of 22. July of 22. Because there's just an influx of people to the state of Florida. You know,
I see.
You can't blame them, you know,
And
they're
because
coming.
you said Medicare is a state program. And so when an individual
Medicaid.
Medicaid is
Medicaid.
just, oh, I got it backwards. So Medicare is federal and Medicaid is state. Okay, got it. So I had it reversed here on my paperwork. So when people come in from another state and they're on Medicaid, that's where they need to renew. They need to find something new.
Yes, if you are moving into Florida or changing zip code, either way, or region, and you have Medicare Advantage plans, which we said was Medicare Part C or Medicare MAPDs, you are required to change your plan to your local zip code, correct?
Okay, wow. So you started out in 2016. Actually, you really got fired up maybe after that fall rush. Perhaps I think you said you hit it harder the next year. And how did you attract new clients? Where did they come from? How did they find Ernest Teisner?
I
Of
had to
all
get
the
in front of
insurance
them.
agents in the world, how did they land on you?
I had to find them at first.
Okay.
Which meant you might see me out at the corner of a Dollar General for a couple hours at the table.
Ah, okay.
I did that. I did the Walmarts. I did the Walgreens. All right. So the game plan was for our agency that we knew that Google was going to be very important come up years. So our game plan was to provide excellent, excellent five-star service. Therefore, we would get five-star reviews. Therefore, it would help our phone rings. So my first couple of years, I was finding them. I was going out to the stores. I was at the local outreach centers, going to thrift stores, putting up a table. I was out there looking for them for this first couple, well, for the first 3 or 4 years, yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Did you find that difficult to do or humiliating or embarrassing, or you just took it in stride and said, hey, this is part of the game?
You take a stride, it's a part of the game, but it's a numbers game, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's
Yep.
a numbers game. So you
Yeah,
go
yeah.
there, you go through as many numbers as possible until you find the one that works for you. So, no, I didn't, it wasn't humiliating. I just did it. I was fortunate to have opportunities to go to. Sometimes locations like a Walmart table, it's hard to get into, believe it or not, during an open enrollment.
Really?
There's big
Oh,
money
wow.
behind the scenes on this. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah.
So I was lucky to have people help me out. My carriers were very helpful. I'm a broker, so therefore I'm in contract with multiple carriers. I didn't have to sell only one product. So the carriers were very good to us. What we would eventually start working into was a Medicare educational seminar,
Ah,
which
there
was
you go.
an in-person.
Yep.
We could seat 30, 40 people.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember, but we would just sit there and answer Medicare questions.
Yeah.
It wasn't to sell a product. It was welcome to Medicare. You're 65 and over. This is what you expect.
Yeah.
This is what original Medicare card gives you. These are your other options outside of it.
Uh-huh.
We explain it to the person. By the end of our seminar, the whole group at that point should have an idea of what path they want to go down.
Right.
And then
Yeah.
we'll meet them individually. So
Yeah.
you got to stay in front of them. You gotta be out there.
Yep. That was a good way because one presentation you could reach, like you said, 30 or 40 people instead of just limiting to one or two at a time. When you were, say, at a table in Walmart, were you looking for old people like me and then approach them? Or were you just sitting behind the table pretty much and waiting for them to see your banner and come up to you?
The way this works with these tables, you are a broker not allowed to start the conversation.
Oh.
So we have to wait to be approached. So I will have to wait for you to approach me and say, you know, I have Medicare Advantage. How can I help you? So
okay.
we're not allowed to approach people on those tables.
Wow. Now is that a Walmart rule or is
no,
that
that's
a state
that's your
insurance?
government.
That's a government deal.
Yep.
Yeah, well, so all you could do is set up a very attractive attention getting table and banner probably, and then sit there and look pretty and hope people gravitate toward you.
You want to stand up, you want to walk around, you want to bring balloons, put them behind the table, you want to do whatever you can. I had a pin right here. I had a little pin right here that said, ask me about Medicare. And
not
that was
really
the best icebreaker I had right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I said, you know, you're not to approach anybody in an improper way, but you want to be seen.
Heck yeah, that's right. Well, that's part of marketing, you know, is getting attention. You know, without that attention, you're not going to get a sale. They have to know who you are and what you've got through a marketing process before you even get into the selling. The selling,
absolutely,
basically, yeah. So that was the early days. Are you still doing that kind of thing now, or have you been able to graduate that and respond to inquiries coming in to you?
It's so funny you say that. The big answer to the question is I don't do a whole lot of that now. However, shame on me. I get a lot of my new business from referrals. Okay. I have a nice clientele base. Plus my agency does marketing also. My agency is a 5-star review agency. So if someone Googles Medicare near me, it could be anywhere. It could be even in West Palm. We still come up. So I get a lot of my business through referrals now. I meet somebody. We have a nice relationship. Going into Medicare for a lot of people is scary because once they reach that age of 64, they will be inundated with Medicare letters, Medicare emails, Joe Thies on the TV, you know. But when you meet with somebody, they can explain to you the fundamentals, which is what I specialize in. They walk away from that meeting feeling very comfortable, relaxed, and better than they did approaching the meeting. So I get a lot of referrals from existing clients.
Wowee. Well, that's really the best kind of business is referrals because they're kind of pre-sold, at least on you, from their friend who's making the referral and the recommendation. Do you have a like a rewards program for people that offer referrals that you get them a gift card or buy them a new car or something, you know,
no,
anything like that? No, okay.
That's another thing. The government has real, real tight restrictions. It is really to protect the Medicare eligibles, but no, there's nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's not that you're too cheap to do something like that. It's the government says you cannot do that. Big difference. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't compensate somebody refer me. No, I can't do that.
Right. When you were doing the tables at the stores and stuff, was that something that you were arranging with your carrier and the store, or was Sean Brown actually facilitating that on your behalf?
The agency of Sean Brown, a carrier, and the store was all involved in it.
Okay, yeah, it's a multi-person deal arrangement. Yeah,
it is. Like I said, these tables during open enrollment season are they're highly wanted. A lot of people would die for these tables, kill for these tables. There's not always available. So there's a lot of hands involved in it.
All right. So like the stores where you used to set up your table, you have by the grace of God, have been able to advance past that part of your marketing, there's probably some other company that's doing that in your stead now that's unrelated to your company, I imagine, right? Some other agent from another insurance company.
There's always another agent. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't evidently, I'm just wondering, you know, Sean Brown could have kept the ball rolling and kept somebody in his organization at that table forever, possibly.
The tables are negotiated every event. The tables are negotiated every event. So and if you have a table now, no guarantee you're going to have it next month.
Okay, what is an event? Like a 30-day period?
Yeah, an enrollment period or a sales event. So every time you get the tables, you're not guaranteed to have it next time around or even next week. They try to rotate them out.
I see. Okay. So once you're in, you're not guaranteed forever. It's
correct. Especially at certain locations.
Yeah. And who's making that call? The store? The carrier?
Sometimes it's the store. Sometimes it's the, we have what we call a broker manager. So for every carrier I have, Humana, United, Cigna, I have a broker manager. They all behind the scenes have to do with all that.
All right. So if a particular carrier has negotiated the table, are they expecting you to favor that product line, or are they just, you know, we're setting you up here, but you do what's best for the client? And do they have that attitude, or do they have
that's the attitude?
Our stuff.
That's the attitude. That's why I go into it, all right? Because I have carriers that pay for events for mine. For example, I mentioned a moment ago my educational Medicare seminars. The carriers pay a part of it, but it's what's best for the client. They know I'm a broker. I'm not an agent to them. So they know I'm a broker. So it comes down to what is best for the particular client. And the reason I am a broker is I want more options.
Yeah. Well, that is really notable thing. And you had to take extra steps to go from just an insurance agent representing one company to a broker representing a number, correct?
It starts out me as a broker, all right? So we meet today at Walmart to open enrollment season. He said, can you talk about Medicare? At that moment, I'm a broker. I ask you a couple questions. I think we've been through this before. I ask you about prescriptions, I ask you about doctors, your zip code. And then when we narrow it down, I'm going to enroll you in a Humana plan, Humana MAPD plan. From that point on, I'm your Humana agent.
Right. I understand. You started out in 2016 as an agent. Is that correct?
No, broker.
Oh,
broker.
You went, because are there two licenses, an agent license and a broker license? See,
it's a 215 state license. It all depends what path you go after you receive the license.
Okay, all right.
Some people will go contracting with a carrier, so therefore they're an agent for that carrier. Some will go to an agency that's contracting multiple carriers, which is the path I chose.
Okay.
So I went with the agents with contracting multiple carriers, so therefore we are brokers until we enroll you into a plan, then we are your agent.
Your agent. So is there an extra step, more tests or training or what to go?
No, it's what path you want to go.
Huh?
No, it's what path you decide to go.
All right. Why would an individual stay married to just one company as opposed to going the broker route like yourself?
It all depends what they one agency. You know, it all depends what they promise you. It depends. Do they promise give you leads? They promise how much of a commission split. You know, we're giving part of our commission to the agencies. So it all depends what they have to do with what they have to offer. Standard. This would be the standard deal out of your 215 license. You find somebody online. It's going to be a 50-50 split, which is terrible. However, that will be with an agency. Okay. Therefore, you're selling one product.
Okay.
I should say that would be with an insurance carrier selling one product.
Yeah.
When I got involved with Sean, the deal was we're going to be brokers that have more options, and the agency will be together to help the brokers break out into their own paths of brokerage so they can be find people to be agents to. So it all depends what they have to offer you. All day long, you can go online, there's people looking for insurance, licensed insurance agents to help sell product. It depends what they have to offer you. They got to be able to offer you something. I got a great support unit, man. I cannot complain in my support unit. I don't, when I have a complication come to the phone, I don't sweat it out. If I don't figure it out right away, I call my support unit. That's one reason that I love this industry I'm in right now. It is because of my agency that I'm involved in.
Understood. I remember when I was in the computer industry, started out in 1984, there, you know, computers would go out of stock, you know, they don't have any of the IBM ATs and they've got other stuff, you know, and the cry was, I think, what was it? SWAT, I think, sell what's available today.
Oh.
And so if you didn't have the IBM AT, then you're going to try to sell the IBM XT, which is a lesser machine, but that's what you had available to sell. So these agents that just are working with one carrier, one product, then they've got to come up with a way to persuade the prospect to buy that, even though in their heart of hearts, the agent knows it's not the best thing but that's all they have to sell. Is that making sense? Is that kind of how it can work? Whereas you've got a full arsenal of all these different carriers that you're going to find something somewhere that's going to be the best fit for that client. I think that's the way to go. That's really cool.
Or in a case like you, I know right away, either I can help you out or you're already in good standings. We'll talk about it next year. Remember?
Yeah, right.
You know, listen, we spend September of every year in October preparing for enrollment season coming up October 15th. We go to each carrier and we find out what products they'll be providing for the upcoming year. So there's hundreds of plans out there. Once again, only a handful make sense to the general population. And as I listen to a new client talk to me and what they say and what they don't say to me, I'm going to my mind realizing already what I'm thinking about for them. All right. So we spend a lot of time already working on what's coming out. We already know what's coming out. So we do a lot of legwork. I meet a lot of new clients that do a lot of their legwork, their research. I said, let me do that. Let me do the legwork for you. And what I do is I simplify things. I'll give you three plans up there, side by side by side. I don't want to throw five plans at you or six. I want a simple three plans. Are your doctors in network? Yeah. Are your prescriptions in network? Sure. It's your more PPO. And then we're going to take it from there. I'm going to explain everything to you line by line. And then you make it. I already have in my mind which one's the best decision for the person already, just by what they say and what they don't say. But I give them options.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you got it. That's really great. Do the carriers provide, you know, obviously they provide all the wealth of product knowledge that you can stand and then some probably. Okay.
Yeah.
What about sales training? Did they provide you with sales training, how to present, how to demonstrate or whatever, how to close, how to follow up, those kinds of things? Or were you on your own for that?
No, the carriers are excellent. Their concern is retention. So all year long, we have programs we can be a part of. They can be one-on-one meetings. They can be virtual meetings about maintaining, finding new clients. The carriers are fantastic.
That's good to know. I was in the car business for a few months back in 2004 with the local Dodge dealer, and you know who they are, I'm sure. They really did a great job in product knowledge. You know, it took me weeks to go through all the products of the cars and the trucks they sold. But guess what? When that was done, man, I was on my own. They did not provide a stitch of sales training.
Really?
How to do it. The worst part for me was the negotiation, trying to do the close. And I just turned it over to the sales manager and I made $100 on a sale. if he closed it, he'd close it at invoice or less, you know, and he was happy. I made $100, big deal. But I didn't know what I was doing. And so I lasted 3 or 4 months. So their training was zippity doo dah. So you're in the great game there, that they're backing you, your companies are backing you, and you get the information. So today, there are people out there contemplating a career move, and the career path of insurance agent, insurance broker is laid before them. If not before, I hope now, because of our conversation. What would you say to somebody who is contemplating or who's in it and maybe is struggling, hasn't really, you know, gotten over the hump yet, and they just need some help. They need a push. They need a kick or something, some encouragement. What would you say to those individuals, Ernest?
Sometimes you have to return to the original path, which is, like we mentioned earlier, you know, I did do the tables for a long time. Sometimes you have to reach out to your local community members. You know, the carriers that you represent, how are they helping you? Are they helping you? They should be helping you. Are they giving you product information? Are they giving you leads of where to go and find these, what we call deals? Are they in constant communication with you? If you're struggling, listen, for a person to get into this business, you must, for the first couple of years, you're not going to have a livable income. It's just
okay,
not realistic.
So that is a tip for somebody that is either just barely starting out or is contemplating. Your advice basically is stick it out for
you
a couple
stick
of years.
It out.
It's going to take a couple years before you get some momentum. So that's a good piece of advice.
Absolutely.
Anything else for a new guy?
You got to provide that good service. You know, service is still a thing now. My referrals, because people like me. I go to the house, I meet them. I meet them at Starbucks, but they like the conversation. You have to be able to build a relationship with a person before they become your client.
Uh-huh.
So you have to have someone comfortable with you and talking to you, and they got to be comfortable talking to you. If they're not comfortable talking to you, it's not a good relationship at all.
Right.
So you got to provide that good. My background is restaurant business. So I always have to make everybody happy around me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that helps me out also. I was a restaurant manager. I go to table, everything okay. And now I just want to make sure everybody's happy with what I have to provide them now also.
Well, right.
So, you know, in this business, if you're thinking about getting into it, you have to have a supplement of income to get you through the first couple of years. And then it's a great state because people are moving here, you know? So there's plenty of clients to go around, is my thought.
I see.
All right.
Okay.
But you have to be prepared for the first couple of years. The first couple of years will not produce you a living income.
Okay. So you got to have a nest egg, because I get the impression that the companies, the employers, the brokers that do the employing are not paying a salary. Is it straight
this
commission?
Commission only income.
Okay. All right.
Commission only income.
Yeah. So that's how it is in the whole industry here. Yeah. Is you're on your own. You better have something to keep you going for this period of time while you're ramping up. What do you think the dropout rate is then, given that? People, yeah, they'll get discouraged probably because they're getting a lot of no's, or they're not
it's
even
high.
Making thing. And then those who just have run out of money.
It's high, because even with my agency, Sean never set out to be a large agency, but he did want, you know, 5 or 6 or 8 or 10. And we've gone through people throughout the last couple of years that just can't, you know, that fact alone that you get into a job with its commission and you don't have a livable income, that hurts a lot of people right there off the bat.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's a very high drop-off rate.
Yeah, I bet. So I imagine that he warns people at the get-go during the initial interview, shall we say, that, hey, you better have X number of dollars or X number of years available to sustain you. I mean, you've got to kind of cover that right up front. and not paint the picture that it's all rosy from day one, because it certainly isn't.
No, you're correct. It is not.
Yeah.
This is the industry where you get out of what you put into it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Once again, I wish I started this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely
Yeah.
love it. You got to keep in mind, I was in the restaurant business. I was working 70 hours a week
Oh, yeah.
with what we call a salary cap. All right. Didn't matter how many hours they spent at the property. I had one restaurant that had 100 employees. But now, when I make a client, today I'm going to do a deal this afternoon. I'll have that client for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
I'll
Yeah, you
receive a
take care of
commission for the
them.
rest of their lives.
Yeah, you take care of them and you will. And the client doesn't pay you, the carrier pays you.
Correct. We
We're
we're paid very close to the same thing, no matter what plan we sell, no matter what carrier. The government keeps a tight squeeze on that. But our services are zero cost to any potential client.
Yeah, good point.
So,
Good to know.
anybody listening out there, if you have any questions about Medicare, call your broker. It's no cost to you. All
Right.
right? Don't listen to the TV. TV advertisements are national. Things on there may not pertain to you. Find somebody that you can sit down and talk to, or when you call them, they answer the phone.
That's in your state
And
where
just,
you
yeah.
live, right? Okay,
Well,
so.
they don't have to be in your state, but they have to be licensed to sell your state products.
Okay, got it. All right. Okay, so then the person who is contemplating this career path, could somebody call you and pick your brain about this? What is
Absolutely.
your
I've done it
what's your
many times.
contact? What's your phone number to
My number is
tell the people?
386 675 6752273.
Yep.
And keep in mind, when you get into this industry, your first clients are your low hanging fruit, and that's your family. All right,
Ah,
your family and
yeah.
friends, that's gonna be for your first clients. People
Yep.
may be comfortable with that, but that's there already. That's a
Yeah.
built-in market already. So once you get a
Exactly.
couple of them in, the word of mouth spreads.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so the phone number again is 386-675-2273,
6752.
folks.
Yes, sir.
Ernest Teisner. Indeed. And if you want to give him a call, leave a message if he doesn't answer. Sounds like he's happy to let you pick his brain about this cool industry and what it can do for them in the long term. Not in the short term. It's going to take some time to get ramped up. So that's really cool. Anything else in closing comments that you might have for our audience today?
No, Russ, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I love what I do. I really do. And I love meeting new people. So, any questions, give me a call.
Good deal. All right. That's it, folks. There you heard from an expert, from a seasoned professional who has paid his dues in the insurance industry in the area, specifically in Medicare and Medicaid. Principles that he's putting forth today probably follow suit with other types of insurance, but it's all, like he said, it's a numbers game, and you got to get out there if you're going to make this go, and you need to have some money stashed away to keep you going. So, Ernest, I appreciate you stopping by today, sitting here and letting me pick your brain and rake you over the coals and have something to pass on to our audience. So, thanks a whole bunch.
I thank you,
And
sir.
yeah, man. Folks, thanks for tuning in here to Money Talks. Russ here again, RST Coaching Academy. Anything that I can do for you, phone number 386-286-2450. Email is email at rstcoachingacademy.com. So check Ernest out. You got questions for him? Check me out if you got anything that I can do for you too. So that's it for today's version or edition of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. And so I say over and out, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.
Thank
Bye
you.
bye. Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com. Call 386-286-2450 or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.